Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. Amen. Radical praise. And this morning we are going to talk about radical worship. Amen. Let's take it to that level or to that dimension. Amen. Because we are still focusing on our theme, the revolution. Amen. And we know that in order for God to use us in a great and in a mighty way to bring change, not only in our lives, not only in our families, not only in our careers, but also God wants to affect our communities, right? God wants to affect our cities. God wants to affect our nations. Amen. Until all the nations of this world can serve him as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. Amen. But it will take actually take a radical generation, just like you and I. Amen. A radical people. I love it when the Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been suffering violence, and the violent takes it by force. Amen. And that's you and I. We are supposed to be violent. We are supposed to be radical. We are not supposed to take, you know, no for an answer, but we need to understand what is it that God has called us for. Amen. But we started off this theme and we taught on radical wisdom. We said in order for us to be used by God for this revolution, we need to be radically wise as Christians, right? Jesus said we are supposed to be as humble as doves, but also as wise as serpents. We need to be cunning as Christians, amen? And we talked also about radical giving, amen? We need to give ourselves our possessions, our time, our resources, our gifts. We need to give them selflessly to God so that God can use them to advance his kingdom. Amen. And of course, Mamfundisi last week spoke about radical praise. And I want you to tell your neighbor this, all right? I know I make you talk to your neighbor quite a lot of times. But ngenzela ukuthi yabonga hlala icela ngomuntu ungakhulumi naye. Amen. But tell them this. Say, neighbor, do not hang your harp yet. Yes, because it's important. Amen. It's important that we learn how to praise God in and out of season. It does not matter how we feel, but we need to be consistent in as far as praise is concerned. And today, as I said, we are going to talk about radical worship, okay? Now, let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. I'm going to take two verses, verse 23 and verse number 24. And we are just going to say a few things which I believe they are going to bless us this morning. Amen. This was Jesus speaking. In verse 23, he says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Speak to us, challenge us, renew our minds through your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there is a very thin line between praise and worship. Even though sometimes when we try to define what praise is and what worship is, we fall short because they are actually not meant to function in isolation. Praise and worship, we can put it this way, they are the two sides of the same coin. But as I said, there is a very thin line between the two, praise and worship. And you know, I've been in church for quite some time, and over the years, it has been interesting for me to observe from a distance and listen to people talk about praise and talk about worship, especially in this fashion. And probably many of us, let me not say many of us who are sitting here, many of us maybe who are at home, this is also what we think. We sometimes look at praise as fast, upbeat songs, and we refer to them as praise. And then you find the slower kind of songs that are soft, slow, and we refer to them as worship. Even nalaikhaya nginokubezwa abaculayo basho njalo bathi during praise and then during worship. And I've discovered that is not necessarily the case. Even though sometimes most of the praise songs are of a faster kind of a beat, you know, they're upbeat, the pace is much, or the tempo is much more faster, but it does not mean every up-tempo song is praise. What makes a song to be praise or to be worship is actually what it says, the lyrics, the content. And sometimes you do find one song that is both praise and worship. Are we here? Amen. And I'm going to show you why there has to be that defining line between praise and worship in a way. Because if we were to explain or to define what praise is and what worship is, simply put, praise is about, you know, praising, we praise God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he is going to do in our lives. And again, I'm going to show you why, well, I might as well do it now, that it's easy for everybody to praise God for what he has done. It's easy to praise God for what he is currently doing in your life because you can see it. But not everybody can praise God for what he is going to do because that has got to go through the channel of worship. And I'm going to, show you what do I mean by that. The Bible tells us that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everybody can praise God. As a matter of fact, everybody should praise God. And we should praise God not necessarily for what he has done for us personally. God does not have to do anything for you specifically in order for you to praise him. All that we need to do is to look around and observe the things that he continues to do each and every day. The Bible tells us that day unto day utters speech, ukuvela kwelanga, is God's greatness. And we should be praising God. When God blesses somebody else next to you, that's reason enough for you and I to praise him for what he has done, empilweni yaloyo muntu loyo. For as long as we can recognize that God has done something great. And it is so amazing that if you study the book of Psalm 148, I think it is, the Bible even commands things that does not have breath. He commands them to praise. He talks to the moon. And he says, let the moon praise. He says, let the sun praise. Let the trees praise him. Amen. And that's the kind of praise that says, because this is what I believe, that the highest level of praise is to become what God has created you to be. So when the sun rises, it is praise unto God. When the wind is blowing, it is praise unto God. When you discover your calling and you fulfill it, it is praise unto God. When you discover your calling and you do not do it, you are causing a discord in a song of praise that comes from creation. Or Shona Lee. Alibongo kamalengos. Now, worship, on the other hand, we worship God not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. Everybody can praise God, but not everybody can worship God. At least the way that the Bible says we must worship him. Everybody can praise God. Even the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, right? But not everybody can worship God. Not everyone can worship God because that depends on the relationship you have with God. Let me make an example and just show you. This example is very awkward, but I think it's going to be relevant. If you are at work and you are a male and you hold a position there at work, maybe you are a manager and you have somebody under you who is a female, right? And they are doing well in performing their duties. You've given them a task and they executed the task well and they come back, they give you the report, you are happy. You will be free to praise them because of what they have done. It is appropriate to praise them for what they have done. You've done a great job. Well done. I'm happy because you've done 1, 2, 3. You've delivered on time or whatever. But if the very same female shows up and she's looking great on that day, and all of a sudden, you take 5 or 10 minutes to tell them how beautiful they are, it's going to be very awkward. It's like when she walks in, she's like, wow, you look beautiful, your smile. Oh my goodness, look at your eyelashes, your eyebrows. It's going to be very awkward. Why? Because your relationship is not at the place where it allows you to worship them. And one of the greatest things about worship is the fact that God does not have to do anything in order for us to worship him. We worship him for who he is, not for what he has done. We worship him simply because he is God. All that he has to do is to show up. Then then it evokes worship from within our hearts. Are we together, Bazalon? And here's the beautiful thing here, because as Christians, there are seasons and there are times where God does nothing in our lives. Tangible, that is. Amen. There are seasons where it feels like heaven is quiet. There are seasons where no matter how much you are praying, it is as if heaven is not moving. And that's why it's important that as a child of God, you must not just become a powerful, you know, prayer warrior and not know how to become a radical praiser, if I may put it like that, right? Or a radical worshiper. So when God is not doing anything in your life, and it seems as if he is not going to do anything anytime soon, you don't have anything tangible that you can use that can evoke praise in your heart. That's when you and I, we have the key or access to worship him. And when we worship God, because we worship him on the basis of the relationship we have with him, and he allows us to look into his heart, to trust him even though he is not doing anything. To trust the fact that, and once that happens, God begins to show us who he is in the nature of his being, even though he is not performing at that time. Oh, Okay, let me put it this way. Ma, if Ben said Telma, when the example on Rexin, they would know who am I talking about. If a person like me shows up and says to you, Nzokshaya, you might not be convinced. It's like you'll be looking at me and say, I want to tembe lomjit. But if John Cena, I think it's relevant that I use John Cena out of all these other wrestlers who are there. If John Cena shows up and says to you, Nzokshaya, you better believe. It's like he does not have to do anything for me to believe. Ukuzongshaya, like ukumbheka nje isimo sakhe sokubukeka ilese city sengshayiwe klara. And that is what worship does to us as God's people. That even though God, during that time, he is not doing anything, but he gives you a glimpse of who he is. So that in advance, you can see what he is capable of doing. And when you walk out of that place of worship, you walk out with praise for what he is about to do because of what you have seen in him. Are we here, Barcelona? And another thing, if I were to, and I'm going to move from this point, if I were to just draw the, put that contrast there between praise and worship, is that, you know, we can, as I said, all praise God. And the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people, right? And praise has a way of attracting God's presence. But the challenge is once the presence of God shows up, not everyone knows what to do. Because when we are praising God so that he may show up, and that is what the Bible teaches actually, it tells us to enter his courts with praise, right? And it's so that the presence of God can come, so that when he shows up, then we can worship him. And the challenge is, in most cases, we can be in services, all of us, and during that time when we are praising God for his greatness, for his power, and many, many people relate to God through what he has done in their lives. That's why even people, even though they are not Christians, but they are happy to be around God if there's something good that is happening in their lives. Because that is what helps them to relate with God. They can see that they have a good job, they are driving a car, they have a house, and when they come, it's easy for them to come and say, Nyambong kulunkulu, or when they 1, 2, 3, and 4. But when it comes to worship, you have to know him. Just like you can't come, you'll be looking for trouble. If you show up and you spend 5 minutes as a man and you are saying to my wife, you are so beautiful, look at, you know, I will kill you if I'm around. Because the relationship you have with my wife does not allow you to do so. Are we here? And that's why then the Bible tells us that there is no flesh that will glory in the presence of God. Because when we praise God and he shows up, only those who know him can be able to worship him, because that worship does not happen in the realm of the flesh. Are we here? Amen. I can. There are three kinds of worships, if I may put it like that, that are unacceptable in the Bible. The first one is vain worship. In other words, it is possible to try to worship God, but only to find that it is all in vain. This is the kind of worship that will not help you in any way. Matthew 15 verse 7, this is what the Bible says. And this is so interesting. Just listen to the first words that Jesus utters in this verse. He says, hypocrites. Take note of that. He is addressing hypocrites here, actors on a stage. Abantu abazenzisayo, right? He says, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. In other words, they have a lot to say about me. They have a lot to say to me and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in verse 9, he says, and in vain they worship me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So in other words, they are doing all of these things. They are saying all of these things about me. They are honoring me with their lips. They are saying all the right things that other people are saying about me. But take note of what he says. He says, but their heart is far away from me. So in other words, when there's any action, when there's any utterance that we are, you know, expressing before God in worship, God goes beyond the words, the action, and he looks at the heart. Now this then tells me that worship is way more than a song. Worship is way more than a song. Worship is the fruit of, well, I mean singing is the fruit of worship. Serving God should be a fruit of worship. Everything that we are saying to God, everything that we are doing for God, it needs to flow out of a heart of worship. Based on the kind of, this is what the Bible calls the labor of love. I am doing it because I love God. Right? I am not trying to prove a point. I am not trying to convince somebody else that I love God. So in other words, even though nobody sees what I am doing, even though nobody hears the song that I am singing, even though nobody acknowledges what I am doing, but it is my expression of love towards God. Everything that I am saying, everything that I am doing, whatever song that I am singing, I am doing it unto the Lord. Are we here? Amen. Because if I say anything about God or to God, and my heart is not in there, the Bible says, I am doing it in vain. It counts for nothing. In other words, even when I wake up and I come to church each and every Sunday, if my heart is not there, I am doing it in vain. If I am going to give my money during Sunday services as an offering before God, if it's not connected to my love for God, the Bible says, I am doing it in vain. And it regards it as vain worship. And this kind of worship is unacceptable in the New Testament order of worship. Because when we talk about worship, we need to look at it holistically. We must not just look at the songs that we are singing. That's just part of worship. Singing is part of worship. It is not worship. It is part of worship. Because singaba singing and tinabanya magnatiwa ugoshipokula. Because some of us, yay, inotil pumaganzim. Amen. As a matter of fact, you must be standing next to a person who was and listen in, you know, how they are singing and just you know, uhambe nabo. Otherwise, if you are on your own, yo, listen to us when we are taking a shower trying to worship God in a song. I mean, it sounds horrible. Amen. But if our hearts are in a right place, Bazalwane, then we can be able to worship God through our actions, through the words that we say. Amen? Are we here, Bazalwane? Number two, another kind of worship that is not acceptable, it is ignorant worship. Acts chapter number 17 from verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. You are very religious. Verse 23, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. So these are people who are religious. These are people who are supposedly worshiping. Right? Then it says, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So these are people who are shooting arrows randomly and hope that they will hit the target. They are religious, they are worshiping, but they are doing it to an unknown God. So they are hoping that There is a God somewhere. There is a universe somewhere out there. So whatever that we are doing it just in case. You know, in this life, there are people who want to play it safe like that. They don't necessarily commit to a specific God, but these are people who say, you know, I go because I believe in a higher power. But what higher power are you talking? This is ignorant worship. It's worship to an unknown God. You know, when you, one of the lessons they offer when you study theology is, you know, when they are dealing with the doctrine of God, they try to show us that there are people in this world. There's not only people who believe in God and atheists, but there are other people who believe in God in various ways. There are people who believe that there are many gods. There are people who believe in in the existence of God, but the kind of God who is not even interested in developing a relationship. They say, we can never know. We can never know exactly about this God. Are we here? Yes. And this is the ignorant kind of worship. Let's continue. And then it says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. In other words, stop guessing. Let me tell you who this God is so that you can worship the right God. And in verse 24, it says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. So we cannot second guess. We cannot guess the existence of God. God wants to touch our lives in such a way that he wants for us to seek him until we can find him and truly know that this is the true God that we are worshiping. Amen. To a point where we are not going to be nice and be religious. You know, one thing about religions of this world, and we see it here in South Africa because we are living in a democratic country, that when we are having gatherings and then they will say, and all the religious will come and they will all pray. And then they will say, because we are all worshiping the same God. That's not true. It's politically correct, but it's not true. It's politically correct, but it's not true. Many people believe that there is a God somewhere that they are worshiping, but I refuse to say it is the very same God that we are worshiping in Christianity. Because Jesus puts it clearly, Bazalwane. He says, in as far as this God that he is talking about, he says, there's only one way to go to him. Only one way. Only one way, and it is through him. So as soon as you mention another mediator other than Jesus, then it's not going to lead to the same God that we are talking about, you and I. So when we are going to talk about worshiping God, we are not going to worship him ignorantly. We need to be specific and clarify which God are we talking about. Are we talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth, or are we talking about the God that was forged by human hands and imposed on men to say, nango munyu unkulunkulu okhona and lo umricha ngokuthi udlule kusibanibani. Because as soon as we mention elinye igama ngaphandle kwegama lika Jesu to reach out to a God, then it's not this God that we are worshiping. Are we here? Let me even put it this way. For as soon as you mention any mediator that is dead, including our ancestors, then we are not making reference to this God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, this God who is the giver of life. Then we are talking about somebody else. Are we here? And the Bible makes reference to this. This is ignorant kind of worship. And this is the reason why even regarding the children of Israel or the Jewish nation, Paul said in Romans 10 verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. In verse 2, he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They are ignorantly, because, and look, he's talking about people, but because now they wanted to continue in their relationship with God without Jesus, then he says, they do have the zeal for God, like many people that we see around. They do have passion for God. They say they love God. Many people donate to churches because they say they love God, but they do it ignorantly. They don't do it according to the knowledge of the scriptures that it has been revealed so that we can be led to the right God. Number three, then we have what the Bible calls will worship. And I like the New King James Version. It refers to it as the self-imposed religion. Colossians 2 verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into the things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let me say this, Vazalon. That sometimes as Christians, we get too carried away with the way that we honor even the so-called, and myself included, men of God. No matter how much God can use me, right? Let me put it very clearly. No matter how much God can use me, no matter how much God can use me, no matter how much God can use me, but never get to a point where you are going to pray to the God of Pastor Jacob Msip. Because my God is your God. And if you are going to constantly focus on serving unkulunkulu, you'll never know mhlazana sengishintshile ngingasakhonzi lo wena omkhonzayo. And you are qhubeka ukhonza uNkulunkulu ka Jacob Msipa. And many people are doing that today. And it seems as if lo uNkulunkulu angeke bakwazi ukumazi ngaphandle kwaka man of God. It's like for me before I can pray. And it is only in the name of Jesus Christ that we can pray. Emthandazweni wakho ungalingi ulibiza igama lami. Elami igama linamandla. It's just that sometimes we get too carried away. And verse 20, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Verse 21, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. So our finding God does not depend on the doctrines that men teaches. Verse 23, it says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, it says, in self-imposed religion. And of course, in the King James, as I said, it says, this is will worship. These are the things that we bring to God to impose as worship to him. We want to appear religious because of the way we look, the way we address. There are people who feel that uNkulunkulu angakuzwe mawugqoke ngendlela thize in your worship. And the Bible refers to it as self-imposed religion. There are things that we impose on ourselves and we want God to accept them as worship. And God says, but I did not prescribe that as a form of worship. As a matter of fact, anything that you bring before me as worship, I go beyond it and I look at your heart. And that's why I've learned over the years that in most cases, I've discovered that people who appear religious on the outside, hey, their hearts are rotten. Okay, yena kulungile uyathwala. Maruna enhliziyo embi. Unenzondo. That is not Christianity. Christianity is about the life of Christ in you. It's not about how you look on the outside. There's no jacket that makes you more holy. There's no dress code that will make you more anointed. Says one of us, the Bible calls it so. If you do it because you are comfortable with it, do it. But don't impose it as religion on somebody else, because it is the kind of worship that is not acceptable in the Bible. Look at what the Bible tells us as I close. The scripture that we have read, right? Let me go back to it in John chapter number 4, because this is the kind of worship and the only worship that is acceptable in the scriptures. It says, but the hour is coming. That was Jesus speaking then, right? But I like it because he says, and now is. When the true worshiper, so in other words, when you want to become a true worshiper, the radical worshiper that I am talking about, he says, the true worshipers will worship the Father, he says, in these two ways, and two ways only, in spirit and in truth. And I like it because in verse 24, he says it very clearly. He says, God is spirit. So in other words, there is no any other way that we can worship him, because God is spirit. So if we want to worship him, we need to do it in spirit. In other words, from our heart and in truth, which is according to the scriptures. There is a biblical way that has been prescribed, and that is the only way that we can worship God, fellowship with him, commune with him in a true way. That is the kind of worship that is directed to a true and a living God. Any kind of worship is not directed to a true and a living God. This is the only kind of worship, and this is the one that the Bible tells us that it is required in the scriptures, and that it is the season now for that kind of worship. And this is the kind of worship that comes from the hearts of those who say, God, we are seeking after you. Not only what you can do for us, but we are seeking after you, Lord, just simply because of who you are in our lives. These are the people who are saying, God, we can see your goodness. We can see your beauty. We can see your glory. And those are the things that satisfy us. These are the people who are able to realize that, you know, only you can satisfy of God. Oh God, more than anything that you can do for us. These are not the people who are chasing after God because of what he can do for him. And that's why I said in the beginning that only those who are seeking for his performance are going to be stuck in praise. But once we begin to appreciate God for who he is, even though he's not doing anything in our lives, we are going to continue pursuing him, because, oh God, if I can find you, if I can discover you in my life, if I can locate you in your presence, the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So one thing that we are seeking after as believers, it is the presence of God. That is what we are after. Not just his hands, because we know that when we are in his presence, there are pleasures in his right hand. If I am in his presence, God will shift my environment, my atmosphere. Let me tell you, if we can learn to live in an atmosphere of worship, you know, many of us, if we can just learn to cultivate that relationship that we have with God on a regular basis, not when we are at church during a church service, but when you are at home, live in an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of admiring God for who he is. Look around you, look at your life, and just admire God for who he is in your life. And let me tell you, God will begin to change your atmosphere. God will begin to change your atmosphere at work, in your business. Why? Because in every place where you go, you are carrying his presence. You are carrying the ark of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, they used to carry the physical ark wherever they go. Why? Because they wanted to see God fighting their battles. They wanted to see God granting them victories. That's why they carried the ark of the covenant, which was a physical box. But let me tell you this, Barcelona. The Bible speaks to us as the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us. We have a privilege of having the access into the presence of God, into the glory of God, into the power of God, 24/7, Barcelona, in every place. As soon as you worship God, God will show up in your workplace. God will show up in your circumstances, in your situations. God, and in every place where God shows up, let me tell you, atmospheres shift. Environments changes. I like it because the Bible says even David called the Ark of the Covenant, he called it Jehovah Sebaoth, Barcelona, the Lord of Hosts. That's what he called it. Why? Because, it's like it's connected to Psalm 24, where it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up high. It says, you everlasting doors. It says, and the King of glory will come in. The Lord who is strong and mighty in battle. Praise attracts the presence of God, but worship activates the power of God. God will move in your, God will move, Basalwane, for you. Why? Because you have shown him that you are not just interested in what he can do, but you are interested in just him being with you. That's why David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Why? He was guaranteed of the presence of God all the time. I'm reminded of how even Saul was tormented by the evil spirit. The Bible says each time he was distressed by that spirit, he called for David to come and worship next to him. And each time David worshipped with a harp next to him, the Bible says then that evil spirit that was distressing him left. Because the presence of God has a way with changing atmospheres and environments. The presence of God has a way with just ensuring that any evil spirit. Let me tell you this. There is, when we look at the old model of the tabernacle, which was put there just to teach us in a physical way how to worship God in a spiritual way. Because when Moses was told about the tabernacle, God said, make sure that you build it as it is, as we have seen how it is in heaven. And the Bible even continues to say it is a copy of what happens in heaven. So when God was teaching us there, we know that there was the outer court where there was the altar, where there was the laver, and then there was the holy place, where there was the lampstand, the table of showbread, and then there was the altar of incense. And what used to happen there was, they used to burn incense, right? Which was a symbol of worship unto God. And as they worship through burning that incense, which is a sign of pouring out their heart, their spirit, their soul to God, then the Bible tells us that the glory of God would appear. And they would stand before the veil that was not torn by them. And it was practically impossible to lift up that veil with their physical hands so that they can get in. That's how heavy it was. But the glory of God will show up, let's use this term, swallow them into the presence of God. In such a way that by the time they open their eyes, they would be in front of the Ark of the Covenant. But here is what I wanted to tell you. That incense that they were using to attract the presence of God, it is the same incense that people used during those times, that when you suspect that there is a snake in your house, that there is a poisonous scorpion in your house, that there's any deadly thing in your house, all that you had to do was to burn the very same incense, leave it in the house, and anything hiding under the cupboards will not only come out, but it will die. And out of any other form of incense, God chose that one. What does it mean to us? It means when we are in the, when the presence of God shows up, if you live in an atmosphere of worship and the presence of God shows up, any evil, wicked thing that is there will not survive. That's why the Bible says, in every place, we diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge. And it says it becomes death unto those who perish. Nothing can survive the presence of God upon your life. No wicked scheme, no wicked plan can survive the presence of God. You know, sometimes when God exposes things around you, don't be shocked. It's because of the presence of God that is upon your life. So any wicked scheme that the enemy plans, God in no time will expose it. Why? Because you have mastered becoming a radical worshiper. Worship in your car, man. Worship in your home. Worship in your bedroom. Worship in every place where you go. Just learn how to be that kind of a person who knows how to pour out his or her heart before the Lord so that the presence of God can be made manifest in your life at all times. Let me tell you this. Sometimes we trust more in our prayers, and it's not wrong, but there are certain things that only worship and praise can resolve in your life. Only worship can praise. That's why at some point there was this king was faced with the I think it's Jehoshaphat, who was faced with a battle. And God said, this battle is not yours. Just put Judah first. Judah means praise. And just continue praising me. And he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes and just focus on God, praise him, worship him, and the presence of God will show up and resolve all of those things. Can we stand on our feet? I like what Mamfundi said, that praise is a way of shifting your eyes from yourself and the issues that are there in your life and just focusing on the God who can resolve all of those issues. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.